is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
We're here. Thank you for tuning in. In all my years of doing radio stuff, I always wonder what's going on the other end of the speaker. Like, I wish I could, I know it'd be not in a creepy way.
Well, I can give you an insight. We already have one comment on what's going on. Tim is complaining about big rigs on the freeway. So that's what he's doing. Yeah. Good morning, Tim.
Tell Tim to quit being an Eeyore. Be happy to be out there.
Big rig Eeyore.
Yeah. Big Rig Eeyore.
I once had a hefty friend who was going to do radio on a country station and wanted to go by Big Rig, and he was shut down.
Yeah, was he?
I feel like that's a great country name, though, if you're a biggin.
I just wish Tim would stop complaining and bringing us all down. Like, Big Rig, sorry, that's how, you know, food and stuff gets places, and people are just trying to do their job. Sorry that they're driving at 6:03 in the morning, Tim.
Joshua wants us to start at 3 a.m. when he wakes up. I'm going to go ahead and pass on that.
I mean...
would it be the worst thing to do 3 to 6?
You know, if I didn't have kids, I'd actually rather have that shift because I would then stay up all night and I would go to sleep after 6 a.m. I'd just go full nocturnal. It is so weird now getting here and it's daylight.
What time does your alarm go off?
First alarm goes off at 3:30. I get up around 3:50 after snooze a couple times.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a 3:45 guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I need a...
Like this morning, it's like... But it's one of those mornings where you wake up, I get in the shower, and I just have my face up against the water, like, wake me up.
Yeah, you're just hoping the water will get you going.
By the way, water, not as effective as caffeine.
Well, I agree, however, with an asterisk. Water, not as effective as caffeine, depending on the temperature.
Yeah, okay. But
I have a ritual when I shower in the morning. I do my shower, do everything. I wash everything off. And then just as I'm about ready to get out, I turn into the shower head and I make it as cold as I can stand.
Oh, you're that guy?
As cold as I can stand
it. Oh, my God.
Just for a couple of seconds.
No.
And it's everything I can do to not, you know, like when Goofy would crash when he was skiing and just go, you know, I it's very cold. And then I get out and I'm very refreshed.
Do you do that in the wintertime too?
Yeah.
Really?
Because
psycho.
I take very well but remember that even in the wintertime, it's about the same temperature difference because in the wintertime I'm also taking hot showers and my body's up to probably the same temperature it was this morning, and then, you know, regardless of how it is outside, inside it's hot and steamy. You know.
Look into your personal life now.
Any place I am.
For a married man, I'm impressed.
Yeah, you know, 14 years this July, buddy.
You didn't answer my question.
Which is?
Before, I'm like, what is on your shirt? I was trying. Could you not hear me through the IFB, or are you just ignoring me?
I couldn't hear you.
Okay.
Truly.
I was trying to talk to you through the IFB before the show, and I was getting ignored.
You know why? Because this was totally turned down.
Wow.
I had to turn it up right before.
Did you turn that down, or did Jason turn that down to ignore Chris Verlod?
Probably. Yeah, it was down when I came in.
Hey, now.
If I was Mike Francesa, I would tell you it's a gorilla. It's one of the Team Alpha Male shirts they put out a couple years ago.
You have quite the Team Alpha Male collection.
Well, you know, the reason why, there's a couple of minor reasons. I know the guys and I support them and all that. But also, again, if you have a clothing line and you give me your clothes to wear for free, I will probably wear them. That's you know.
So if I give you some shirts for free, you'll wear them?
It just depends on what the shirts are. But
I mean, you're getting a little trimmer now. You can start fitting into my, what do you wear, XL right now?
No, I'm a 2X.
Still?
But I was a 3X.
Okay, so you're
I wasn't really a 3X. I just preferred a 3X because it would cover a lot of things.
Yeah, no, I wore double X's for a while when I went through my big boy stage.
Mm. Well, what's funny is there are certain things in my wardrobe now that it is kind of like having a new set of clothes.
Right.
Things I haven't worn in a long time. My usually and any radio guy or somebody with a lot of t-shirts knows this. You know, I have like golf shirts and nicer clothes hung up.
Yes,
and then on top of the hangers are racks that I have folded t-shirts stacked up on. And usually twice a year on a Saturday or something when I'm doing stuff around the house, I'll remember I need to do this, and I'll go to my t-shirt racks and I'll just flip them over. I'll just flip everything over so the bottom's on the top and the top's on the bottom, because I don't dig down when I'm picking out t-shirts.
So if you have 20, you'll go through 10.
Yeah.
You'll do laundry,
right.
Put those 10 back there. Just
it's absolutely right. And you got to remember, it's stacks of 10. Mm-hmm. So there's a bunch on top. When I flip them over, it's like, I haven't worn this shirt in, you know, a year, couple of years. And then you have a whole thing. Well, now
you have t-shirts you haven't worn in a couple of years. That's impressive.
I have t-shirts up there I probably haven't worn in 5 or 6 years that are just, you know, and for, you know, some of them for whatever reason.
Right.
Summertime, my wardrobe when I get home is anything without sleeve. What I do with my old shirts that are getting ready is I cut the sleeves off because I like wearing sleeveless in the summertime.
I'll let the guns out.
You got, you know, you do. Even if they're little six shooters, you got to let the guns out. Good morning, everybody. Richard Pan will join us at 8:05.
That was the worst transition you've ever had.
Sometimes
you let the guns out. Richard Pan, 8:05. Good morning.
Trying to focus here.
Dame time?
We'll talk about
lots of Dame time.
I'm angry at not at Damian Lillard.
I was going to say, if you're mad at Dame, you're
there's
a
no
bad
reason
person.
To be mad at Dame Lillard. I'm kind of mad at you. For just why would you put out the picture of him and the Kings?
Oh, practice? Just to make people upset.
Right, exactly.
I'm very honest about that. What John Wilson started it.
Well, John's, you know, whatever. Come on, John.
I'm simply following up.
It does make me think, though, one of the upsides to going back to, if you could take a time machine and go back to 2010, which I truly wish I could do, that would be the year I would. After my kids have been born, Bitcoin is cheap. You know, I'd know all the things I'd need to do. But one of them would be, like, I often have had this little daydream that if I could somehow go back in time to 2010, one of the benefits would be that I would know who to draft.
Mm-hmm.
But then the question, I've really played this through in my head, was at the time it was Jeff Petrie. How would you break through to be like, you wouldn't be able to do it the first year. So whatever was 2010, I think was what, DeMarcus? Yeah. So what I would say is I would find a way to access Jeff Petrie and say, listen, I know you're not going to believe me, but you're going to need to believe me in the future. So here's the top five guys out of this draft. And I'm going to do this for you every year until you finally start listening to me, that nobody can scout like I can. Nobody in the world. I'm literally the best. Yeah, I'm going to do this to you for free. For you for free. I'm the best scout on earth. And I will just list the top five in this draft. Wait a year and then let's talk about it. And I've often wondered how many years it would take before Jeff Petrie and or Pete D'Alessandro or whoever it would have been would have believed me enough to take the player I told them to take.
I think because with the obviously, benefit of hindsight, you could literally nail the best player available, for instance. It doesn't matter where the Kings pick.
I would nail the top, right. But
you
I would also have
Giannis. You would probably be, the Kings would probably still be in a position there.
Sure.
It doesn't matter. If you hit the pick every time, after a while, they'd be like, all right, this guy might know what he's talking about.
I agree. I wonder what the while is. Was it 2 years, 3 years? Because you need time for those picks to, like at the year after the Fox, Donovan Mitchell.
What you will have to do, though, is you're going to have to be really smart when talking to him and talking like full-blown basketball nerd talk. Like, you know, I noticed true shooting percentage in college when he spots up. You know, you have to speak in those languages. You can't just be like, hey, Geoff, Dame Lillard, huh?
It's Geoff. Geoff.
Hard G. G. Or is that a soft G?
I think it would take 2 years. I think I'd have to do it 2 years in a row. And
well,
just
if you started
it.
You said starting in 2010?
2010.
So would you take Paul George over DeMarcus Cousins?
Yeah. I don't.
Wow, you hate DeMarcus?
But here's the thing. I would also have to think in my head, hold on, I have to get this done as quick as possible. Some of these players are going to be a bit more of a project, like Giannis was. So maybe I don't rank them as high. Anyways, be a fun movie. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice! Coming up next.
And we will talk about the NBA playoffs. A lot of news out of there. We have an advance. We have a team in trouble. And we have one of the great playoff overtime performances in NBA history that never should have happened. Good news, bad news for the A's and Giants. Also, bad news, good news for them, too. I'll explain what I mean. So much more, everybody. Like I said, Dr. Richard Pan at 8:05. We got a big, fat, hairy show for you. We start it next.
It's time for Leading Off, brought to you by Lasher's Elk Grove Dodge, where for over 60 years, their name means a great deal in the Elk Grove Auto Mall and online at elkgrovedodge.com. Here's cut number one.
Dame goes left, gives it up to Mello, back to Dame with Austin Rivers on it. Bounces off of Gordon again from way downtown. Banked it in! There's the NBA record! Damian Lillard with his 12th three of the game. He's got 55.
147-140, double overtime.
That's a lot of points.
And, dude, one of my best friends who is a Nuggets fan was at that game.
That's random.
He's from Denver.
Oh, okay.
Lives out here from Denver, but he was at
that game. Did he fly in just for that game, or was he out there?
He was visiting his family already and then scored really good tickets to the game.
Nice.
And man, he sent me a picture in, like, the first quarter. I'm like, dang, dude, nice tickets. Like, he was behind the basket, like, five rows up. And then by the time the fourth quarter hit, I was like, man, you're pretty lucky to be at this game. And then he texts me in the middle of the second overtime. He goes, I can barely stand up. My legs are jelly right now. Mm-hmm. It's exhausting. I can imagine. What an emotional roller coaster. What a game. What an all-time Pantheon postseason performance.
That's good.
By Dame Lillard. But it's going to be a tale of two stories here. You can love, appreciate, honor, and worship Damian Lillard and Dame Time. And at the same time, say that it never should have happened and it's garbage that it happened.
You're talking about the fourth quarter call?
It's one of the most trash calls in that situation. It's not Bibby's face to Kobe's elbow trash, but whatever the rung below that is, that's what it was. Like, that ref, seriously, that group of refs should not touch the playoffs the rest of the year.
It was a really bad, they're calling it a compromise after the review, and I'm like, there should be nothing. No compromise.
No, there's no compromise. It wasn't a foul. There wasn't a foul. Well, if that's a foul, then they missed about 1,000 fouls in the regular season.
Oh, sure. But let's reset there, because the initial call was even more egregious.
Right.
Because they have initially called a shooting foul on the three, and Austin Rivers is, like, nowhere near him.
Nowhere near him.
And so they basically compromise on the replay with, like, a little ticky-tack touch on the hand.
It was so stupid. And it's one thing. Listen, it's boom, boom. I have a lot of sympathy for referees and umpires. Refs in football, like, I get it. The fact that they reviewed it, they had a group of referees reviewing it and still came up with the fact that that was a foul.
But when you look back at the review and the angle they show where you can clearly see it wasn't a foul, the referee's on the other side of it. He has a clear angle of it.
I don't, like I said, I can forgive in the moment mistakes. I cannot forgive that. I'm really curious to see what the last 2-minute report says. Do they even put one out for the playoffs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I will be willing to bet the league's going to cover their ass say, yeah, it was a foul on the hand.
It's garbage. It's total garbage. There never should have been an overtime. Now, listen, you can, and this is where Twitter comes in, you know, oh, well, what about those calls on Nurkic?
Leading off.
Wow, okay. What about those calls on Nurkic? It's Mike Malone's fault for not doubling Damian. By the way,
really bad idea not to double Damian.
Yeah. Also, can somebody tell my guy Mike that you can foul him too before the shot?
Yeah, that's another
It's okay to foul him and put him on the line for two when you're up three. Like, feel free to double Damian Lillard and or foul him. Like, those are inarguable points.
Oh, I'm with you. I am a huge believer and follower of the Church of Michael Malone.
But it doesn't justify.
One was very head-scratching, though.
It's the same logic train as if you were over at my house, mm-hmm. and I was just, like, randomly come over with an axe and chop your wrist off. And then later talk about how, well, yeah, I chopped your wrist off, but, dude, you bled all over my carpet, and now I have to get my carpets clean. No.
Yeah, it's
shouldn't have happened.
No, again, bad, poor scheming on Michael Malone's part, but it at the end of the day, that part is irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
When you keep him the foul. But hey.
Hey.
The NBA or the referees did us that didn't have a rooting interest a favor, didn't they?
Much, much, much more. Yeah, our two most likable teams in the Western Conference playoffs. Much more on this.
And you
later.
Know what? I will say after watching that game, we are 100% correct in that analysis.
Much more on that later, including how happy was TNT to have that game on NBA TV.
Oh, God.
They should be able to switch mid-game.
Yeah, I mean, you have that game going into OT while the Suns are up a million on the Lakers.
They were up 31 when they went, I think, to the first overtime. And I don't think it got below 26.
The last time I remember even checking the score, the Lakers had pulled within 29.
Yeah. All right, number two.
Leading off, cut number two.
Here's the 2-2 pitch, and it swung on a miss, and down he goes. A foul tip held by Murphy. The A's have won at 12-6, and for Bob Melvin, he becomes the winningest manager in Oakland A's history. And what a great honor and a fantastic milestone for a great manager and an outstanding human being. He passes Tony La Russa, the most in Oakland A's history. Win number 799 for Bo Mel, and he does it in the city where he managed his first major league game for the Seattle Mariners. But what a run with the A's for the A's skipper. And they do it in a big way tonight as they put a dozen runs on the board. Congratulations to someone who has earned the respect of pretty much everybody.
Wow, you hate Ken Korak.
That's Ken Korak, the great Ken Korak. Saying it perfectly.
A bit of a word salad with his admiration of one Bob Melvin.
Had to do it. Not his fault. It's whoever cut the audio. Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy, a better guy. You know, we'll be back at spring training next year. Obviously, COVID screwed us on that one last year, but that wasn't the worst thing about COVID. So, yeah. No, because we were there. We were there. Remember, we were there, Jason and I, covering spring training.
Not this year.
But the year before when COVID hit. It was hitting as it happened.
I remember you guys getting off the plane. Oh, damn, do we have COVID?
Yeah. So, anyways, congrats to Bob Melvin. Classiest dude in the world. Nicest guy in the world. Awesome manager.
I had no idea he was that close or even that, you know, in the ballpark of passing Tony La Russa.
See, here's what's funny. When I heard that he became the A's winningest manager of all time, my very first thought was, he wasn't already? What the heck?
And then really?
I thought next. And I was like, well, the A's have been around since like 1700 and... Tony La Russa and like
Art Howe was there a long time.
Yeah, Bob Melvin, the greatest manager in A's history.
No,
wow, shade of Bob Melvin. Okay, we just got done talking about him. So good news for the A's, they beat the Mariners. Good news for the A's, Bob Melvin, winningest manager. Bad news for the A's, Ramon Laureano, 10-day IL with a right hip groin-ish injury. The A's recall one of the better names in all of sports, Sky Bolt from Las Vegas. He'll join the squad. Sky Bolt, what a great name.
Sky Bolt sounds like he should be in Final Fantasy, not Major League Baseball.
Absolutely. Like Cloud Strife, Tifa, Yuffie, and Sky Bolt. Yeah, I agree. Boy, was that nerdy. Sean Manaea today on KHDK on the mound versus Chris Flexen. Chris Flexen.
Yeah, I got it.
What's his name?
Number three.
Flexen. Yeah, number three. Okay, fine.
Leading off, cut number three.
How about a few more? Shot, base hit. How about many more? One man in red, come on down. Here comes the second. Wong hustles on in. He will score. Anthony Rendon again.
How about many more? Woodland's Max Stassi comes back from a concussion and has an RBI. That was the story of the game to me. A's. Angels win 8-1.
It starts with an A. It's fine.
Yeah, Alex Wood gets shelled. What are you going to do? If you're going to lose, lose big, I say. Get it all out of the way.
Right. The Angels have all their runs in one game. It's one game. You go out and you beat them baseballically tonight. I don't know.
All right. Not off to a good start. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
A's and Giants still in first place, so... Eats with a half a game. I mean, what are you going to do?
It's just going to be that way all year.
All year long. All right, let's get into these NBA playoffs. We got a series over. We got another series. It's like haymakers of injuries going back and forth. There's a lot of drama in this Lakers-Suns series. And Dame time runs out. But we'll talk about all that next.
Like a radio cockroach, you just can't get rid of him, no matter how hard you try. Back to the Carmichael Dave Show.
Dame across the logo. Dribbles left, gets a screen, straightaway three on the way is good. 30 for Damian Lillard. Dame in front of Porter. Crosses over. Three-pointer for the tie. Got it! With 3 seconds left, Denver can't stop the clock. Inbound to Morris at center court. The three for the win is no good. We are going to overtime. Dame, top of the key. Step back. Another three. Buries it! Damian Lillard is unbelievable. Dame time in the extra time in Denver. Dame takes it across the timeline, defended by Shaq Harrison. Crosses over, spins around, step back, fades for three. Got it! Ties it! 50 for Damian Lillard with 6.4 left in the overtime. Dame goes left, gives it up to Melo. Back to Dame with Austin Rivers on. Bounces off of Gordon again from way downtown. Banks it in! There's the NBA record! Damian Lillard with his 12th three of the game. He's got 55.
Yeah, the text line is 916-339-1140. Every once in a while, a gem comes through. I love this question. I already put it out on Twitter. If you switched Dame Lillard and Steph Curry at the start of their careers, how much different would the Blazers and Warriors be? And, or more to the point, would they be that different?
No, I don't think so.
I like to think the same thing.
I think Dame and Steph are a lot closer than we really give them credit for, the difference being the Warriors obviously built a juggernaut around Steph, and the Blazers have yet to do that. We'll address that in Three for Madness, by the way.
We will. And then I guess the question is, would you have to change much on the Warriors?
No.
Would the Warriors not be the perfect setup for Dame Lillard?
Dude, swap the two players. Dame has three rings. Dame probably has an MVP award.
And are we sitting here right now talking about how the Blazers just haven't done enough for Steph?
Yes, 100%. It kind of sounds like a knock to Steph, but it's not. I just think the two players are a lot closer than we give them credit for. Dame is amazing, man. It is truly a treat to watch him.
It is.
And what he did last night. Basically take a basketball team, put that in, because he was getting no help. CJ McCollum was ice cold last night.
See, if you want to be, you put out that picture of Dame Lillard in the Sacramento practice jersey.
Now, I don't think the Kings would have built a title contender around Dame.
Now, here's a question, though. Here's another one that'll bake my noodle all day. If you could change one Sacramento Kings draft, would you have them draft Dame Lillard over Thomas Robinson or Luka Doncic over Marvin Bagley?
Dame Lillard over Thomas Robinson. Let me tell you why. I think you draft Dame Lillard over Thomas Robinson with DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus ain't getting away with the things he got away with if Dame is here. Dame would be the alpha on that team.
Sure.
We talk about, you know, getting drafted into places and the culture helping guys, you know, develop quicker. To me, Dame is one of those players that he's just built so different. It don't matter who drafted him, he was going to be great. I truly believe that.
Michael Malone, our old friend of the show, Michael Malone, didn't seem to double Dame all game and certainly didn't foul him in any of those situations. He was asked afterwards why he didn't.
Damian Lillard's he's like a Chris Paul. He's been around the block. He knows what time it is. And if you're trying to take that foul, my concern is him making the three and giving up a four-point play. So it's really out of respect to Damian Lillard, his experience as a clutch player. There's a lot of things you can sit here and second guess. Lineups, give a foul, not give a foul. You know, we won the game. That's all that matters. And we will watch and learn from all those end of game, late game situations where, you know, we could have been better.
Yeah, I love Mike, but that's crap.
Nope.
That's crap. Okay, first off, you instruct your, I know this is easier said than done, but it is doable. You instruct your players, or your player, whoever's going to be guarding Dame. When you foul him, wrap him up. And then, by the way,
in bubble wrap,
you go to the refs and you say, hey, listen, my player is, we're going to foul Dame. And I've instructed my players to wrap him up. I just want to make sure it doesn't look dirty. We just don't want any chance at a four-point play. It's going to be a hard foul. It's going to be a strong foul. We have no intention of being dirty here. You give the ref a heads up. It's a good thing to do. And you go out and you wrap him up. You literally go like Frankenstein, put your arms over his arms, and just wrap him up.
Yeah, because as you saw last night, there's no one-on-one coverage of him that's going to suffice. Michael Porter Jr. did a fine job. Got a hand in his face, contested the shot,
Those were impossible shots.
Dame is just different, man.
They were impossible, impossible shots. If Porter played him as close as he possibly could. If you commit any more to Dame, he's just going to jump into you and take the three free throws. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. Austin Rivers, again, we'll talk about the foul at length later.
Austin Rivers sang a prayer to the basketball gods after Dame missed that shot. The second OT was hilarious.
Was absolutely beautiful. And then he went on, I forget where it was, but some basketball site's Instagram account and commented after the game. He said, there's nothing else I can do.
You can't guard the guy. He said, it's a not blast. A thing.
It's fun guarding him, but there was absolutely nothing we could have done. Suns just annihilate the Lakers.
Out to Horton Tucker. Horton Tucker, a long three, won't go. And this one is all over. And the crowd will let you know what happened. Suns win. And this one will go to L.A.
Now, LeBron James had comments.
We got our ass kicked. I mean, it's just that simple. They got to whatever they wanted to get to in this game. And, you know, we got to be better, obviously, if we want to force a game seven. So, obviously, a lot to learn from in this game, a lot to cover. See, what we got to do better going into game six. But, they pretty much just kicked our asses. I mean, it's nothing else really to say.
I know that we live in a land of hot takes. And mm-hmm. You know that we avoid that at all costs. I've had this numb...
Do you have a hot take?
No.
Is it a lukewarm take?
No. I think it's a hot take, but it's not a hot take. It's more of a hot question.
Okay.
Because I've had this dull, throbbing question in my brain all year. And the pulse gets quicker and quicker and quicker. And last night I found myself looking at some things and trying to figure it out. Is one of the least talked about things in sports right now, almost like a quiet rumble. Has Father Time caught LeBron? And before you say it, anything, mm-hmm. He's been injured, but he's been injured for massive parts of the season, two out of the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Remember the Luke Walton year. You look at his numbers, and the guy averaged 25, almost 25, 8-8. They're great numbers. I poured through his numbers yesterday.
They're all league numbers for a 36-year-old.
They're fantastic. But I don't know that this team without Anthony Davis is worse than some of those Cavs teams, especially the ones without Kyrie.
I don't know, man.
Listen.
Look at that supporting cast.
I say Drunas Ilgauskas, J.R. Smith. Like, I hear you.
Kevin Love was pretty good when he played.
No, I got...
like I say that like he retired.
Right.
You get what I'm saying.
But they also didn't get Kevin Love until a little bit later, too.
Are you talking about the first iteration of those Cavs?
I'm saying,
you can make that argument.
I'm saying I just don't remember seeing a LeBron team in the playoffs get handled this badly.
Again, context, though, this Phoenix Suns team is really freaking good, first and foremost. He was also playing in the Eastern Conference, which was not exactly a juggernaut then. I don't know. It's hard to quantify. I mean, you'd really have to do a deep dive into that. But I think your point of Father Time starting to catch up LeBron, I do believe there is something to that.
Yeah,
yes.
It kind of feels like it. Like, I can't sit here and say LeBron James is the best player in the NBA without a doubt, like I've been able to say pretty much most of the last 14 years.
But I will say this, when you just look at it on the micro, that team is constructed around
yes.
Anthony Davis and
yes.
LeBron James. If
yes.
you take one of them out of the equation, the whole thing blows up. They're not good enough. They're just not. Last night showed that. They're not good enough if you don't have both of those guys. You have both of those guys, that team is constructed to support both of those guys, and they are really good. Take one out, it changes everything. I'm sorry, Markieff Morris is not, shocking, hot take, Anthony Davis. They have a huge problem at the center position. You saw Drummond had to be benched.
Yeah.
They had to start Mark Gasol, who's a corpse at this point.
Before we break, I want you to hear what Charles Barkley said. This is brief. Oh, we have that in Soundgarden? I should have looked. This is such a great quote. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, that'll be at 7 o'clock. Charles weighs in on the Lakers and Anthony Davis. when we return. Let's get into baseball. The Giants lose. They've got injuries to deal with. The A's win. They've got injuries to deal with. And
can we talk about their minor league food?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Let's do that. Pictures surfaced of some of the food they're feeding their minor leaguers. We'll talk about that next.
When management finally gets tired and just gives up, the Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
Welcome back, Soundgarden, in 15 minutes. You don't want to hear that Charles Barkley quote. Let's talk about the A's and their minor league system. Because this is, you know, we oftentimes will glom on to stories that are underreported. This is one of those that you just wait for it to get caught in the fan.
Yeah.
And then it's going to, something's going to ignite it. And it's just going to blow up the more, because I think a lot of people just don't realize it. Speaking of the A's, Ann Killian will join us from the San Francisco Chronicle on Friday. She wrote the article we referenced yesterday that Dave Cavill, A's president, responded to on Twitter and got a lot of flack for it. And we are working on booking Dave. We were originally going to record a spot with him Friday afternoon. He's in New York for owners' meetings. I've been talking to his camp, his assistants, Dave Cavill has a camp. And I actually turned that down, asked them to adjust, because I just don't like the idea of recording on a Friday afternoon and not playing it until Monday. A lot of stuff can happen. So now we're working on, we're going to try to record, I think, Monday. We'll have Dave, hopefully, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. Where this becomes real fun is that because we're having Ann on first, it'll be interesting to take a couple quotes from Ann and throw those at Dave and vice versa. And I'd really like to start diving into more Jay. We've talked about this off the air. I don't see any reason why we can't dive into the A's stadium issue and start getting a lot of the principles. Whether it's Ann, Dave, Scott Osler, and a lot of the principals around, those are journalists that cover it, and a lot of the principals around the situation itself, the reps for the port itself. I want to hear both sides aired publicly, and let's see who's more full of garbage than the other. Both sides are always full of garbage. Let's see who's got more garbage filled. What is full of garbage is how minor league baseball players are paid. This is a tough subject to get people to care about, and I understand that. Because people are saddled with student loans, they're saddled with they're looking at homelessness, they're looking at COVID issues. Like, this is not the right time to ask people to feel sorry for other people that are playing a game for a living and have an opportunity to make tens of millions of dollars a year. But yesterday, a picture leaked out of some post-game meals provided to minor league players at an A's affiliate. Wasn't this double A?
Double A.
Double A. And one of the pictures was, it was two pieces of white bread with lettuce and tomato off center and what looked to be a piece of American cheese with an ice cream scoop of potato salad. I'm guessing now those big those big tubs you get at Winco. And then the other was, I want to say like a,
I couldn't even, what was
that? I think it was supposed to be
fajitas?
Like a fajita. It was a piece of what looked to be, I wouldn't want to touch it, chicken. Like one chicken strip cooked in some sort of brownish red sauce. And like a thing of like a, what would you call it? A hair of an onion?
Something like
and
that.
And a glom of green pepper.
Put it this way. It wasn't much.
No. And it, the minor league system in baseball needs a complete revamp. And if for no other reason, not only is it the right thing to do, but it's going to be better for your organization as a whole.
Sure.
Just to give you some numbers. Now, keep in mind, these aren't full years. We all understand that minor league years are like 5 months. You know, sports seasons are 5-6 months tops. So this isn't yearly wages, let's be fair. But at AAA, one rung below the major leagues. Oh, one other caveat I'll put in, by the way. This doesn't include if a player had a signing bonus or anything else, but it doesn't matter. At AAA, one rung below the major leagues, the minimum salary for the year, for the season, is $14,700. For a full year, that would equate to $29.4. Your per diem when you're on the road, the amount of money you get to be able to spend on food and incidentals, $25.
A night or a week?
That's a day.
Okay.
Just to put it in perspective, in the G League, in the NBA, the minimum salary is $35,000. That's well over double what it is at AAA, with a $50 per diem on the road. In the AHL, basically the... I'm sorry. And the NBA provides housing for their players. They don't want to forget that one. In hockey, the AHL, their little AAA, which, whatever you want to say. Minimum salary, $52,000. Remember, 14.7 for AAA, 52 for the NHL. $81 a day on the road. That actually more money than the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Are you seeing a disparity?
It's tough enough to, listen, again, I get it. They're playing baseball. But you've got these young kids, many of which bypass college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have, in some cases, 17, 18, 19-year-olds playing.
Oh, yeah, it's chasing the dream.
Correct. And these major league ball clubs are getting away with, you know, they don't have housing. You've got minor league players that have had to either triple and quadruple up or sleep in a car. And by the way, it's not like it's not as easy as they can just go and band together with a few of their ballplayer buddies and rent a house. Sure, that makes sense, except for the fact that you constantly have people coming and going, being transferred to and from AAA, AA, Single A, the major leagues.
Right.
And short-term leases right now in the real estate market in most of the United States ain't happening. Imagine being in Sacramento playing for the River Cats. And you're trying to find a short-term lease. Uh-uh. It's not happening. Why would a landlord do that? And let me also be clear, too. This is not the fault of the minor league teams.
No, it's the parent teams.
It's the parent teams. First off, you got to pay everybody more. But beyond that, this is what really, really gets me, dude. How is it that every single club, listen, if you can't afford it, then don't have the team. For AAA, AA, Single A. So you know, you got rookie ball. Let's say you've got four or five different minor league locations. It's not entirely complicated, Jay. You purchase in that city.
Oh, dude, look right around Sutter Health Field. There's a ton of apartments right there.
You what I would do is I would purchase
walk to the ballpark
a number of properties that you could almost dorm room your way through. Have half the team at one and a half. It promotes, you know, you got bonding, camaraderie. The heroic firefighters of the world. They're all living together at the station when they're on, and then they go and they do their thing, you know, and save lives and come back. They're living together. They're cooking. They're taking turns, stuff like that. Now, listen, you can't compare the two jobs, of course. But why not have 15, 20 guys set up in each place in a dorm environment? And when one guy leaves, another one comes in, hey, you take John's bed.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty obvious fix.
And you stock, you have each but, place has
hey,
a...
You know where the owners are going to find flaw in your logic? Cost money.
Yeah, it costs money. Your teams are worth billions.
I know, I'm just being facetious.
It's just so stupid that we don't talk more about it. It really is. And one of these teams is going to get it together and start doing it. And guess what? They're going to be a very popular destination for a lot of these draft picks, a lot of these guys that are unsigned that want to come. It's just so, so bad. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, Soundgarden, Dame Lillard on his performance last night. Serena Williams weighs in on Naomi Osaka. And Charles Barkley weighs in on Anthony Davis. You won't want to miss that next.